The Nazis did not veto von Galen's election as bishop, probably for a couple of reasons. They may have thought that, as a patriot, he would be sympathetic to the program of restoration of German national pride and glory. Somehow, despite his fundamental opposition to state absolutism and to Nazism, he had a reputation of being sympathetic to their goals. Many had the idea that, as a conservative, he was happier with an authoritarian regime than a parliamentary one. Almost from the start of his episcopate, however, Bishop von Galen would show his opposition to Nazi ideology. A second reason was purely practical. It was in the interest of the regime to appear to be on good terms with the church. To veto the very first bishop elected after they had taken power would not have been good public relations. At least one committed Nazi was anxious about the choice of von Galen as Bishop of Münster. Adolf ten Hompel was a local lawyer who therefore knew Münster better than Adolf Hitler and other leading Nazis. A few days before von Galen's episcopal ordination, he wrote a friend with the request that his thoughts be passed on to Hitler, that Münster, not Cologne, Munich, or Breslau, is Rome's bastion in Germany. Now the decision has been made for Galen. The chapter and the Jesuits are rubbing their hands together over this stunning victory over Hitler, which, without their having done anything for it, has just fallen into their laps. From the time of his election and nomination as bishop, Clemens von Galen began to use the double name Clemens August. As noted in Chapter 1, the choice may have been made simply because that was a traditional name for bishops, but it may have been a symbolic choice. Archbishop Clemens August Drosti zu Wischering had courageously opposed the Prussian government in the 19th century controversy over mixed marriage. Bishop Clemens August von Galen, who could read well the signs of the times, expected that he would need similar courage in standing against the Nazi regime. Before the new bishop could be consecrated and take up his office, the new concordat stipulated one more step, an oath of loyalty to the state. Since loyalty to the lawful authority was as natural to him as breathing, to swear such an oath was no problem for him. He made a request that he be able to swear the oath to President von Hindenburg, whom the whole German people revere and love as father of the fatherland. But it was decided that he should take the oath before Hermann Göring, as minister-president of Prussia. The brief ceremony took place in Berlin on October 18th, followed by a polite exchange of greetings and a meal. The bishop-elect brought his own New Testament to use in taking the oath, but asked if there was not a crucifix available. With apologies, he was assured that the next time a bishop came to take the oath, the ministry would have a crucifix on hand. Von Galen reassured his host that there was no need for anxiety on this occasion. He had brought his future pectoral cross with him, just in case.